Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Deborah Oakland is the founder of Living in Courage Online, a spiritual oasis for overcoming life's biggest challenges. Deborah's story and passion to teach others how to live a life in courage has been featured in major media outlets, including TV, radio, and magazine. Deborah lives in Laguna Beach, California, with her husband and best friend, Cody. Deborah joins us to talk about her bestseller book, Change Your Movie, Change Your Life, Seven Real Concepts for Courageous Change. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for having me on the show. I have to say I love the introduction and the work you're doing, Sherry. It's just right up my alley. So amazing. I agree with everything you're doing and the frequencies and the energies on the planet. And my husband was just talking to me about all of this with the Fibonacci frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I because he's very into the everything is mathematic and everything. And, you know, everything is numbers. And when we're putting the proper things in our body, it flows forward. But when we put the toxins and the negative things in it, the cells start flowing backwards. And so I was listening to all of you about this, and he was just talking to me recently also about, you know, the Fibonacci sequence in cells and pine cones and artichokes, and we actually have them in our faces, and they're in hurricanes. It's fascinating me, so I'm really going to dig into that.
We give away a program that you are welcome to give away to all of your people if you'd like, the little nano voice, and it helps people know what their balance is. So this is a great fit.
I would love that, and I have a newsletter that comes out every month, Living in Courage, and I speak about different subjects. I have an article on there, but I put in useful links to people around the world, and that would be an awesome fit for May if we can connect with that, and I can add that to my newsletter.
That's great.
I think that would be fabulous, because I saw on your blog post, we will actually get started, but this is how it happens, that, you know, we're all in the right place at the right time. Somewhere the producer is, you know, smiling.
Exactly.
You had a post on your blog talking about you are a natural resonance. And when I read that, I thought, oh, you really are going to enjoy knowing about the nano voice. And Sherry often calls it the little nano voice. And this is like the little train that can. Nanovoice is an amazing free piece of software that allows you to do, really a very simple example is that you can, you know, if you think you're suspicious about a food that you're allergic to, you take a vocal print of your voice, which just means recording your voice in the nanovoice, and then you eat that piece of fruit, whatever, and then you wait 20 minutes and you take another vocal print and you see if your vocal print has changed drastically, and you'll go, oh, that's what, you know, that's affecting that, and that's not necessarily good. So when I saw natural resonance, I thought, oh, this so fits together. This is a worlds of, you know, mythic, you know, effects. But I mean, it all comes down, it's ancient, but, you know, Sherry has taken much of her life and made these amazing programs that go, oh, look, I can, you know, monitor this. How cool is that?
Oh, well, I'm just so happy to have found you through, Deb Scott, I believe, introduced us. She's just such one of the best people we know. That's the name of her show, too. Best People We Know show. I love Deb Scott.
That's right.
But
yep.
But I was just thinking about everything being frequency and energy. And when I eat food, my husband muscle tests me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I eat anything or take anything, you know, we work with a formulator for all of our products, and we're very into health. And my husband works mainly with water and cleaning up the environment, and he's working with some people in Canada. Unbelievable. That you should have him on the show just about that. You guys would rock and roll together, Sherry.
That would be very fun. We'll talk about that after
another
the show.
Time. Okay, back to the book.
Another time. But back to the book. Actually, I have a question before we get to move into the bigger questions.
Okay.
Why the, and I mean this in a positive way, I'm curious, I'm wondering why the film theme, in other words, why the making movie, it isn't just that you're using the simple allegory of the making of a movie, you are really talking in the way of how when you make a movie, you're talking about storyboards, you're talking about producers, directors, rewrites, treatments, wraps, reels. You're actually using, and when I'm saying the word reels, I'm saying R-E-E-L-S, which
mm-hmm.
most people don't think of today because movies used to be on film reels. So, I mean,
right.
you really are fully using it, and it's a one, I love that as the allegory, if that's the right word.
Thank you. Well, it's
you
about
know, I think
seven
it's a great,
reel concept, R-E-E-L
yeah.
concept.
Yeah.
And how this came about was, you know, over those 4 years when I lost so many family members, both of my children and both of my brothers, and then shortly thereafter my father to prostate cancer, I had really nothing to lose. I'd lost so much so quickly. And I thought, what do I really want to do? I want to write. I've been writing and hiding it under the bed my whole life. I've got nothing to lose. If somebody wants to hear what I have to say, great. If they don't, that's okay, but I'm not fearful about it anymore. So I jumped in and started writing about living in courage. And over the last 6 years, this book morphed into three different aspects of itself because I started writing it. I thought it was finished. I had my little spiritual book. I was all happy, ready to go. And then I'm in meditation, and I hear, oh, no, the book's not done. We're going to be including Mother Nature and how she would regard these seven concepts. And so that was a shocker. So my friend from England, Steve Tallamy, came over, and he stayed with us for many, many weeks, and he wrote his section on Mother Nature in relation to these concepts. And then I think the book's done. I'm ready to publish it again. And in meditation, as clear as we're talking right now, I hear, the name of the movie is name of the book is Change Your Movie, Change Your Life. And out loud I go, what? This book's not about the movies. Well, it is now. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what the heck am I going to do? How am I going to make this about movies? Just trust. Okay, my team of angels. I'm like, okay, you guys, you know what's going on. They've led me every step of the way through this entire book. So I said, all right, you got to help me out here because I don't know what's going to happen. And it just beautifully pulled together because I trusted, I listened, I paid attention, I looked for the clues. And it came together the way it is, the way it is meant to be, more out of my hands than not. You know, it's a universal, energetic, whatever, manifestation. And that's
and,
why the name.
And was
Change
the, and,
movie,
and was the,
life.
Right, and was the film, were you, had you been in the film industry? I mean, had you been
nope.
in that world? Oh, okay,
nope.
So you just, wow. That's amazing.
Nope.
Because you used the languaging, you used the languaging really well. I used to not be in the film industry, but I made films through high school and college, and so I have done a lot of storyboarding and used all these words. And I'm old enough that I actually shot film. That's how old I am, everybody. I shot 8mm, man. So
wow, I think
it's been a language that's okay, so it's always been a language, and so you use it really well for somebody who wasn't, you know, directly in it. And I think it's a great format because we all have grown up and lived, you know, with TV and seeing films, so it's a great form, I think, in terms of exactly what you're doing. You're talking about storyboarding, you know, where you write things on 3x5. In the film world, you write your ideas down on 3x5 cards, and you put them in the old days, and put them on a board with push pins, and you'd move them around and change the order and figure things out, and then you'd go into rewrites.
Right.
And I mean, so it's really wonderful. So that
well,
leads
one
me
of the
to
things,
the.
Oh, I was going to say one of the things I enjoy the most about this book was writing the movie treatments, because I wrote seven movie treatments, not scripts, because they're small, they're treatments, And I wrote them, it's the same story told with two different outcomes according to the orientation of your conscious choice. So that was really fun for me to experience.
Oh, cool. And so now let's dive right into the foundation.
Can I make a comment first?
Sure.
Can I make a comment first, Richard? The thing that I got out of this movie idea was you are in charge.
Yes.
That fell on me like a ton of bricks.
Yep, we are. It all boils down to us. We are in charge. We are the director of our life, the producer, the writer. We're it. We're the editor. We do it all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Richard, go.
Okay. No, I wasn't sure if you had a second thing there. So let's move into talking about this the foundational seven steps, and this will lead to a much other conversation, but let's start formulating that for people, not like a storyboard. Let's get the storyboard up there, and the storyboard is the seven conscious steps.
You want me to talk a little bit about the concepts?
Well, the concepts of what you call in the book, foundational seven steps.
Yes, what I would like to preface that with is this book is not about the loss that I went through. It's about the seven foundational steps, concepts, whatever you want to call them, that I live my life by. And I always say if you have a belief system and when things fall apart for you or you go through a great amount of stress or loss of any kind and your support system doesn't support you, find one that does. And mine did. So I decided that these concepts would be excellent to write about in the book, and then they would help other people that were going through difficult times in life, challenging times in life, because, you know, if we don't overcome our challenges, it weakens us. And as we go through our challenges, courageously, we gain strength, and we become stronger and able to handle life in a much easier manner. So my first concept is conscious choice, because the byline is, whose movie is this anyway? Because you are the one that makes the conscious choices in your life. And I felt that was the most important concept of all to start with, and I had originally had it as wisdom. And as decision. And I ended up taking that because a friend of mine who's actually here visiting now from New York, he said, I'm not feeling that this decision is the right title. He said, I really think you need to switch it to conscious choice. And we went back and forth and round on it, and I finally did because the book was basically done. And I had to go through and change a lot because I changed conscious choice. I had to go through the entire book and re-edit everything. But it turned out that he was right. So conscious choice, the second concept is wisdom, the third is love, the fourth is purity, the fifth is concentrated illumination, the sixth is peace, and the seventh is rhythm. And those are the seven concepts that I've written about.
And one of the notes that I made is that, and I really like this about wisdom, is that wisdom requires an open mind. Can you talk more about that?
Well, I think a lot of people, they're very closed off. They can be, you know, in this box, and there's no open-minded aspects to. You talk about politics. I don't like to talk about politics, but you think about this, and people aren't real open-minded. They have their set choice of what they believe in religion and politics and actual food and how they raise their children and how they live their life, but they're not open. A lot of people aren't open to a new perspective, to a new way of looking at things or just listening to someone else's opinion, because when you do, you might learn something. You know, quit judging in your mind as someone's speaking to you. Have an open mind and hear what they have to say. You might learn something. You might get a gem or just something wonderful to take away from that experience without shutting your mind off and saying, no, I'm done. This is it. I won't listen any farther. Be kind. That's part of kindness. Just listen to what others have to say. Even if you don't agree with it, you don't have to judge it because it's how they, it's what they feel, it's what they believe. And I think that that's part of wisdom, too, is keeping an open mind and, you know, like I write in the book, humans bond strongly with others who uphold their beliefs and concepts. Separation can occur when people disagree. Entire lifetimes are spent defending the concept of being right. So where is the wisdom in a closed mind and heart? So be respectful of other belief systems, which allows for personal expansion and growth. And I believe that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I will admit that I do have judgment when I talk to some people, particular idiots. That's an editorial.
Well, there's a lot of that going on around the world.
But I mean in the sense, well, back to referring to politics. However, there are still times, even when I really strongly disagree with somebody, and I'm using my calm voice when I say that, that I can still have a takeaway. So I try and always hear, even though I'm like in my brain, I'm like a mad dog in a cage. I'm nuts. But I'm still hearing what they're saying because it doesn't mean that there isn't something to be gained. Even if I disagree with everything they're saying, if their lips are moving, I'm like, I'm out of here. But I can still have a takeaway. I can still have an aha moment of, oh, I've never thought of it that way. And it kind of goes to what that thing that Sherry talked about. I don't know if it's still over at WebEx. Yes, the that part. Could you scroll down on that up just a little bit so I can see that top part, Sherry? About people doing things out of ignorance. Never attribute malice to what can be explained by ignorance. People are far more stupid than they are evil. And I try to believe that 90% of the time. Sometimes I think people are evil. But for the most part, I really just think things are done sometimes through ignorance. And so therefore, for me, that's why I really jumped on that wisdom is because that open mind thing is really, you can't just shut somebody down because they disagree that they think that color is not red, it's some other color, or, you know, has an essence to it. For me, it really works to hear everything. I'm right up front, I may still think they're an idiot. However, there could still be something cold there, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan of open mind.
It's also about educating ourselves. Because what we're programmed to believe, most of it isn't true. What we're taught in schools, and, you know, I mean, it's perpetuated from family to family. Most of what we've been taught out there and programmed to believe, question. Go out and find your own answers. You know, study nutrition. Study what's going on in your body. Find out what you need to put in it, not what we're told to believe. You know, examine the question of should you vaccinate your children, and I won't even get into that one because that's the whole topic that gets me going. And, you know, I mean, should we do this? What are we doing to our bodies, minds, and spirits? Because they're all one, and it's all frequency and energy, as everything is on this planet and beyond. What are you doing to your energy, and why are you doing it? Big question.
Yes. Sorry, I fell into thinking about vaccines for a moment. We've done a lot of shows about vaccines.
Good.
So that's a thing that'll blow my.
Yeah, we won't even get onto that topic. Oh boy.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been on that campaign for a long time.
Let's move along quickly to love, or as I've heard you say, the greatest power of all. Talk about the power of love.
Well, it carries the highest vibrational frequency. And it is in you. You know, it lives in you. Love is everything. And I think love is the most powerful frequency in the world. We are love. We come from love. When we vibrate to love and to its greatest gifts, it changes our lives. And it's a concentrated, positive, magnetic quality that lives in every human heart. And the heart generates the largest electromagnetic field produced in the body. So when we shift our emotions, we're changing the information encoded into the electromagnetic fields radiated by the heart. You know, I mean, it's, and movies touch us so deeply because they touch our hearts and our soul, and the varieties of themes in movies, you know, revolving around love and fear and relationships and, I mean, you know, movies are about our emotions, and these topics, they touch us so deeply, and love, as I say in the book, has the capacity to heal, removing deeply embedded wounds from our life. I mean, there isn't much more in our lives that's more powerful than love. And I love this quote. It says, "To love very much is to love inadequately. We love, that is all. Love cannot be modified without being nullified. Love is a short word, but it contains everything. Love means the body, the soul, the life, the entire being. We feel love as we feel the warmth of our blood. We breathe love as we breathe the air. We hold it in ourselves as we hold our thoughts. Nothing more exists for us. Love is not a word, it is a wordless state indicated by four letters." By Guy de Maupassant. It's beautiful.
Now,
just beautiful.
How do we, you don't mean, well, no, I'm trying to come up with a question and I can't quite formulate it. Having to do with, you don't mean being a Pollyanna.
No. Love
okay,
is
good.
Powerful. Love
okay,
is powerful. Oh, no. Love is one of the most powerful qualities that we have within us. And, you know, you think about love, that doesn't mean you fall down and roll over and, you know, just let everything flow by you. No, love is so important, and it gives you strength. It gives you courage. It gives you options, and it just allows you to guide your life so beautifully. And I always talk about being now, being here now in the now moment. I mean, we've heard this forever, right? The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, and when my book I talk about now, N-O-W, stands for our naturally occurring wonder.
Mm.
And I love that. When I was writing the book, as I was writing the word now, right through me came, well, love is your now is your natural occurring wonder. And I go, wow, that's really interesting. So I've written that throughout the book in specific spots. But no, love is to me is not Pollyanna. No.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very powerful quality.
I love that. I love. Go ahead, Sherry.
I wanted to bring in something that's totally esoteric.
Yes.
Every emotion that you have, we can equate to a frequency and a color.
Yes.
And when you get into that blissful state, the frequency of your voice ends up being white light.
Mm.
Now, when the sperm and the egg come together, they create adenosine triphosphate.
Yes.
And that's the frequency as light. And when we die, most of that is stored in our eyeball. And when we die, it begins to implode. And we see this brilliant, wonderful white light. So as that conception takes place, and as you say, in love, and there are exceptions, I know, I'm getting a lot of flack over here on the chat. So as that new zygote comes out of loving, and it's done with white light, and white light is all frequencies put together from pink, right, as you go into white light. So there is a science to what you're saying very esoterically.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Awesome.
Oh, yes.
Stuff.
I love that. And as you say, everything is frequency, sound, and color. And every emotion, every feeling, everything we do, our voice, it, like as you say, everything has a sound and a color. And that's how we heal. I think in ancient times we used this healing technology that you're using, probably on a much bigger scale. Don't you agree, Sherry?
Absolutely. And we sneaked, is that a word? We snuck, did your voice while you were talking. And you have an incredible love of humanity, a very solid foundation but your love of humanity is four times as high as normal.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I do. I do. I'm really not attached to anything here. I love beautiful things around me, and I love life. But the whole thing for me is how am I going to make a difference in this world, and how can I lift others up, and what can I do on a larger scale? That's what matters to me. That's why I'm here.
When we use this little program and we punch a couple of buttons, this little nano voice program,
mm-hmm.
it gives you a printout, and I really want to read some of yours.
I would love that.
The very first thing says you have high ideals and expect the same of others.
Yes.
You sometimes help others to the detriment of yourself. Your emotions run strong and influence your health. It's just—it's exactly what your book is about.
Mhm.
It's just beautiful. I'm going to put it up, but I'll send it to you. I'm going to put it up on the screen for people to read.
Are you actually on Blog Talk on the chat room?
Yes.
Okay, I'll have to go over there. I'm not good at multitasking when I'm doing this, but I will go over. I put it on Facebook and Twitter, but I couldn't get into the Blog Talk from the link I put, so I'm trying to figure out a link here to get to it.
Are you giving us your email address?
Me? I can.
No, I have your email address. So I'll have Sherry. I'll give it to Sherry so she can send you that report afterwards.
Okay, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. I'm going to Blog Talk. Now, I'm going to log in to this Blog Talk right now.
Your highest note is associated with the service to humanity and human spirit. And what have we been talking about? Your feelings and desire to help others reside with this note. I mean, it's perfect what you're talking about.
Oh, thank you. And it also is my work with the angels. You know, it's not just me. I have a team I work with, and that is so special to me. I don't know that I'd want to be here without them. You know, it's just, wow. You know, I feel like I'm guided and directed. I mean, I could write a book about how this book was written and how amazing every step of the way went, even going to the cover and the interior and the designers, everybody and everything just was amazing.
That's like being in the flow. That's your now section.
Yeah.
Mm. It is. It's hard. Well, it's easy to reach that, and this is from my own experience, but it's hard in this world to stay there because other people and other things just kind of drag you away from it.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It is true.
And I really if you had a baseball cap that said now on it, I would actually wear that because I have a natural state of wonder to the point of annoying. I'm endlessly,
no.
You know, this is why actually my friends really advocated for me for doing radio because they were tired of me asking them questions. So it was like, I have that very high level of, you know, now-ness, naturally occurring wonder.
You're curious. You're very curious, and I like that about you. You know, I'm a triple Leo. So,
oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I found out long ago when someone did all my charts, everything's in Leo, like everything except one thing is in Leo. And I was like, wow, you know, it's interesting for me in this lifetime, and Sherry might be able to help me out with this. And I've tried to, this has been a lifetime journey and search for me, is I don't hold things in my memory. I speak from my heart. And when I've never been able to memorize things, so I'm not good at tests. And the mathematics, the way they teach it here in this planet, makes no sense to me. It doesn't work with my system and the way that I function. And that's always bothered me, you know. And I know a better way, a different way. And so when I, like, people go, oh, well, you can get up and do your TED Talk. And I have it written, but memorizing it isn't something I can do. I think I'm limbic brain from what I've been told. Not not able to get up there and basically memorize anything and speak. It has to come from the heart. And so I wish I was like my husband and had like more of a photographic memory. He starts talking and everybody listens. He's brilliant. He pays attention. He reads. He educates himself. And he can take extremely complicated bits of information and boil it down to the simplest words where it makes sense to people. I mean, we balance each other out well, but I always wished I could do that because I don't have that memory capacity. There's a disconnect there. And I've been searching for that disconnect my entire life.
You're not going to
But it's working. It
just happened. Richard, do you see what's on the screen here?
Well, I'll go back there. I stepped away
tell
for
me,
a second.
Tell me.
Well, we did another voice print while you were doing this, and it says, you think that feeding the mind is just as important as feeding the body. Your highest note is associated with internal perspective to service to self versus humanitarian needs. Everything you said came, not everything, almost everything came out in spirit. A and A sharp, particularly A sharp, is connection to the other worlds, mm-hmm. and that's your highest note. Normal's 42, and you're 139.
Wow.
So what you just said totally matches. The spirit of your inner core resides with your ability to take quiet time for yourself. Your highest notes associate with seekers of internal truth. And this is something the computer wrote about you, not me. We punched a few buttons, and I think you are one of the most authentic people I've ever seen balanced out in a vocal print by what you're saying.
Wow. Well, I know Dr. Alex Concord has told me I'm limbic, and she said, don't worry about trying to remember things. Speak from your heart.
Well, it certainly shows that here, and not your physical heart either. We're talking a spiritual heart.
Yes.
Okay,
so you would say
again.
For me that it's okay to just go out. I keep thinking I want to go speak in public, and if I get up there, everybody plans everything they say, and is it okay for me to go out there and just start talking? Is it going to come through me? Is it going to work? Am I going to stand there going, no?
No, it will work because you have an intellectual combination at D sharp, and I don't want this to be a show about vocal
So
I'm going to shut up. But D sharp is very high, and that's an information broker from a spiritual perspective, from your chart anyway.
Okay.
Very nice. I'm shutting up, Richard.
Okay, thank you, Sherry.
I'm enjoying, you see, as she's speaking, Deborah, I'm watching Sherry also point at the charts over at WebEx, so I'm seeing this as she's speaking. So, as I say, Sherry will send you both these reports, and it's funny.
Thank
you. Fabulous to see. And it moves.
And you made me feel better. You made me feel better
because
I've been so worried about this memory thing. And okay, so let's move on.
Well, no. I think it's so. I think it's just so perfect. The script is working really well. The director is really happy that we're going to step four, which is about purity. And from my notes here, it's talking about set you free from limitations. So we seem to be at that juncture where you had a thing thinking that you needed to memorize material before you got up and talked. That's kind of what I'm going for, setting you free from your limitations. So how does purity work for us? What is purity in that sense?
Well, I think about us as this diamond in the rough, so to speak, right? And we are like a rough diamond that needs a good polish to bring out our shining brilliance, because we really are like a multifaceted diamond in the rough. And diamonds can be contaminated by very few types of impurities, and they have a high dispersion of light, lovely to look at. Like I said in my book, they're believed by many to enhance one's inner vision and intuitive connection to the divine. But most diamonds contain some inner flaws like we do. And these flaws occur during the formation process, as do ours during our life formation process. And so I talk about this in relation to purity, because we can polish ourselves, we can learn, we can grow, we can study. And again, it's always for me a body, mind, and spirit balance, and really saying that if one is out of balance, it affects the whole, because everything's about the whole. And our pattern of perfection was created by the source of all being, the Godhead of life, whether that's the Mother, Father, God, or God, Goddess, all that is, divine mind, whatever you call it, God, Bob, Susie, it doesn't matter. It's all the same energy. We just have a different name for it and different comfort levels for our discussion about what that being is for us. And we're created in absolute perfection of purity. And then the qualities of love that are active within us combine with this purity. And when we're in a pure state, we're electronic in nature. And the atoms of our bodies live in a state of electrons that are alive. Our cells vibrate to this purity. And it's a place within us that discord cannot enter or contaminate. That's our inner world. Our outer world's another story. So you think of it as you would think of purity as a flawless diamond, the flame of purity, electronic in nature, and it moves around the center of every atom of the body. And we become atomic from discord and impurities created through free will. So that's another whole story. I mean, you can get into that for hours. But our atomic consciousness must be purified before the perfection of the electronic life force can be released fully into our life and our outer activities, if that makes sense.
It does.
And I would say restoring this purity will be our number one priority in the return to higher electronic frequencies. And that's exciting. I mean, it's what the work Sherry's doing. You know, I mean, it's shifting the frequencies. I love it.
Yeah, and it makes me think about, you know, Bruce Lipton talking about, when I first heard him lecture years ago, talking about how not just the epigenetic potential. We come in with, you know, in I think what you're saying is, in terms of our purity, we come in pure. In his view, we have epigenetic potential. We might have genetic potentials.
Mm-hmm.
And what he introduced into the conversation, or was one of the early conversations, of talking about environmental factors, not only structural, meaning chemistry or whatever kind of a factors, but also emotional factors and other things having effect on that epigenetic potential. So if
mm-hmm.
we get back to that state of purity, then we really are our true selves.
Yes. And in relation to the movies, I'll read this a little bit in my book. Being magnetic in nature, we attract good through transmuting the shadows we have created. So if you don't like what's showing up on your screen, on your movie screen, you flip the lens around, throw illuminated light on impurity, which is negativity, fear, and its family, judgment, criticism, condemnation, and blame, you know, all of that. And it transforms it into purity, which is positivity, love, and its family. This keeps the structure of our foundation strong beneath us. And, you know, Hafiz, the Sufi poet, he said, I love this. Fear is the cheapest room in the house. I would like to see you living in better conditions. You know, so physical matter is a result. Yeah, I love that quote. Physical matter is a result of frequency. So your revised movie will reflect back to you the positive changes you've made. You know, so love, the heart, you know, the spirit of our heart, it changes everything back to the energy that we came here to be in and to live in. And I think that's one of our purposes here, to go back to that energetic frequency.
Wow.
I'm done with my purity rant. Okay.
No, that was good. No, purity rant's well worth it. Boy, that's, epigenetic potential.
Can I ask a very down-to-earth question?
Yes.
We've had this happen on the show, too, when people are coming in talking about how to get your life in order. And there's one person who listens to the show, and she's on today.
Mm-hmm.
And she says her life is way better from this show. but she would have liked to have known how you would have handled her situation 5 years ago when she had 3 kids under 5, the father left, and she was trying to work 2 jobs to keep things together. Where do you find the little peephole to change your life?
That's, I think, a story that affects so many women. It's everywhere, because here you are left with children. Maybe the man was the caretaker. He made the money, and you took care of the children, and then they leave. I mean, this is an age-old story, and this is the hard part, because as a mother, you can't give up. I mean, if you do, what's going to happen? It happened to my mom. My mother hadn't worked, and she was left with the 3 kids at home, with the 2 of us gone and grown up, and the three younger ones at home. And she actually had to go back to school and educate herself and find and get a job. And it was very difficult for her to do. And, you know, it's one of the most courageous acts in this entire universe to me, is to just simply to be a mother. But to go out and have to support yourself is a huge challenge, because you have to go re-educate yourself, or just find a job doing something that you've done before. But you know, I can't speak from personal experience, because I haven't had that happen to me, but I know that it takes tremendous courage, and I couldn't give you an answer of what I would do, because I didn't go through that. I can give you an answer of what I went through, because experience is what teaches us, and experience had taught me how to get over grief and loss. And actually what you went through too is grief and loss, because you lost, you know, your husband and sources, you know, and you needed income and you need to take care of your children. So it's also a grieving process. You have to allow yourself to go through the grieving process and to do whatever it takes to take care of your children and your life. But from personal experience, I haven't been through that, so I couldn't, and I'm not a coach, so I couldn't go in and give you those wonderful answers I'd love to give you and say what I would have done. You know, I'm sure I did it in another lifetime. But, you know, I have to applaud you for, you know, everything that you've done to take care of yourself and your children and all the mothers that have been through this situation. It's an age-old story. I hear it all the time.
And it's an amazing, you know, it's... Go ahead, Sherry.
Just because people are asking what happened to her. In her particular case, she gave up her children for a year to become re-educated and is doing well now.
Sometimes you have to do that. Because what are you going to do? I mean, you do what you have to do. And you do the best you can with the tools you have available at the time to take care of your life. And I'm happy to hear that she's doing well now. And, you know, I applaud people that do what they have to do. And sometimes you do just have to go out there and re-educate yourself and find a job and bring the income in to take care of your family.
Well, and it does, it is, you know, along the early part of your story, in the sense that it is, you know, courage.
It's a very courageous act.
That's incredible, you know, courageous act to give up your children for a year.
It is. And instead
knowing
of feeling,
you know,
shame
to go out and
it,
get. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, don't feel shame about it. You should be patting yourself on the back saying, I did a good job. I did my best. I did my best. And that's good enough. And now I'm doing okay. And things do happen for a reason. I believe that. And, you know, whatever, there's always a silver lining. No matter how bad things get, there is a silver lining at the end of the road. I know that to be true. And mm-hmm. Just keep your eye on the prize, keep your eye on your goal and what you want to do, and it will turn around, especially when you're putting enough energy into it, enough conscious choice, like this woman made the conscious choice to go back and educate herself. I mean, don't feel bad about that. Don't blame yourself. You did a good job. So kudos to you.
Yeah, very courageous. Now, I'm shocked to find that we only have a few more minutes, but I know we have three more points to get through, or, you know, steps to get through.
Oh, dear.
I know. So definitely concentrated illumination.
Well,
really,
just give you a real quick explanation of what that is. Concentrated illumination is focused energy infused with inspired light. Combining thought, feeling, and action in a conscious, deliberate way puts you in the director's chair with authority. Energy is active, and you can direct it, its activity in any way you choose. And I think of us as being concentrated energy, concentrated illumination. So that's a little bit about that one. And then peace, I mean, you talk about peace is, I always say weak is not, peace is not weak or powerless, and neither are you. Peace is our action hero. And by choosing peace, this taps us directly into our inner power station. It's like taking a gas pump, and, you know, you put the pump in, and you get gassed up, and, you know, you get fueled. And peace is our action hero. It's a concentrated activity that brings harmony into every space it occupies. And that's a little bit about peace. And the peace, I love the whole section on peace in there, and it's about, there's a lot going on in that concept.
I want to jump in, and I want to jump in on the peace thing for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Is I made a note that you were talking. You talked about the fact that circumstances do not need to change to have peace. I think that's really mm-hmm. important, because a lot of us, or I'll talk about myself. I know that I think sometimes that I have to change my circumstances to achieve a particular state, like peace. And that was that's such a great point. No.
Mm-hmm.
Or as Susan
Capital
Milan would
N-O.
Say, hey. Yeah, we, you know, circumstances, you know, are what they are, and we can still have peace. That's a great thing.
Yep. True.
Okay, and now rhythm.
Rhythm pulls all the other six concepts together through rhythm. Rhythm is everything in life. We have the rhythm of our heartbeat, of our breath, the rhythm of the ocean. Nature is our greatest teacher. There is a rhythmic aspect to everything in nature. You know, childbirth is rhythmic. Breathing is rhythmic. Everything we do is rhythmic. It pulls it all together. And I'm sure it's all, as Sherry would say, probably in a mathematical equations and mathematics is involved in this. You know, it's like our being as a human computer. Everything is numbers. And this beautiful rhythm is what it's think of life as a sacred rhythmic dance, and it's choreographed by you to create your personal symphony. And one of the most important components in any great movie is the rhythm of the music. If you think about movies, it's all about the music. It takes the story forward, backwards, you know, soft music, beautiful music, you know, horror movie music. You know, you've got all these, you know, when something bad's going to happen or something's going to slow down, the music changes, and it dramatically enhances the storyline. And this is where the ordinary movie becomes extraordinary, you know, and that's the story of our lives. What's the rhythm of the music that you're living to? Are you living to the music of the higher spheres? Are you living to the horror music? You know, it's your choice, and there's everything in between. So rhythm, to me, is really an important aspect of the book that pulls all of these other concepts together beautifully.
Well, and you have this, I pulled this quote from your site about, I don't remember where it was, I just like this quote, about when the universe asks you to dance, say yes.
Oh yeah,
so
that's
there's
my
that
quote.
Undertone of yeah, that no, that is your quote. That's what I'm saying. It is your quote. And
yeah, I have
great,
about 120 quotes on my website that I've read.
That's a whole great page. I'll put that link in chat. Your quotes page is like, wow, this is cool. A quote
yeah,
page.
Yeah,
awesome.
At the front of every concept is a quote, and on the front of like concentrated illumination, I say, absorb yourself in each moment, slowly savoring the gift of life. Remembering miracles are available in every moment. Your naturally occurring wonder exists now. But I have about 120 quotes on my website, and people can also buy my book on the website. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. I'm everywhere under Debra, D-E-B-R-A, Oakland. And, you know, I'm just so honored to be able to serve the universe in this way by putting this book out there. I don't know where this book is going or what the journey will take this book. I was the messenger in service to the message. I wrote the book because I couldn't not write the book. I was asked to. I did it. And now I'm holding my peace, and the universe is going to handle the details. I know that. So I am resting right now and taking my time after 6 years of nonstop 8 to 10 hour days on this. You know, it took me nine months to just get the movie permissions and quote permissions, and it was quite a process. So the cover really tells a story. I had an original cover. I ditched it. Paid a lot of money for it, ditched it. My cover artist, he's an amazing artist, paulbondart.com. He's a surreal artist. We came up with this cover, and it tells a story of about your movie. And it's just, you know, you're sitting in these beautiful 1950s beach chairs on this gorgeous beach with the palm trees, and there's a huge reel out there, and you're dreaming of your movie. You're building, you're making your movie. And I love that.
We're looking at it now on Amazon with some of the quotes that people have written, and people love this book.
They do. I've had some amazing reviews on the book. Just, I'm very honored. And you know, from people that are, you know, I mean, PhDs, people that write for HuffPost, and, you know, just people that have worked in the movie industry, and I'm very honored. And, you know, this book, I just had a book launch party the other night, a book signing party. I signed books for 2.5 hours. I had over 100 and some people coming through the venue, and I've been trying to post the pictures on Facebook. I'll get them up. But what an honor, you know, to be able to serve the universe, the planet, my life in this way. And this isn't about me. This is about service. This is about presenting someone. Whoever needs this information will receive it, and that's all that matters to me. That's the most important thing.
You're going to have such a good laugh when you see the vocal print Sherry's going to send you. That's all I'm saying. I can guarantee a good laugh. my question is, have you started the workbook yet?
No, and that's what I feel is next.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just making that up, but it just seems like the perfect, you know, the next step of this, because it's such a great information idea, but the whole, like, carrying over the, you know, 7 real concepts for courageous change idea, that could be the name of the workbook. That's just a thought.
Workshop would be beautiful. I need to put this into a workbook. But can you imagine? I mean, you pull people up on stage and say, what's the movie of your life right now? Okay, let's recreate it.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
and
know?
Get the group behind that. That would be awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. And then I have all these stories. I wish we'd had time. I would have read you one of the stories in the book and the two different outcomes of the same stories. There's one about an artist. There's a dancer. There's a gang member. There's a young man whose father left him and his mom when they were young and his sister, and he never felt like he deserved to have love or to be a father. And, you know, there's so many stories in here. A young girl in high school who finds an Aladdin's lamp. You know, there's some great stories, and I wrote them all in one afternoon, actually. The first one is my real story, the day my son was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver and when he was 21, and that is the only one that is true. The rest I made up in an afternoon. I wrote them all. They came through me.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to say we have to part ways. This
okay.
was fun, though.
It was awesome. I love talking to
great.
You guys.
We'll come back for another visit.
I'd love
yeah.
to.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
All right, everybody. So I've put links in both Blog Talk Radio chat and also at WebEx for how to find DeborahOakland.com and also how to find Deborah on Facebook and links to her pages, her other, you know, links. She's everywhere. She's everywhere. She's like Batman.
Aww.
She's everywhere. And what a great show. I knew it was going to be fun, but even funner, if that's an okay word. So everybody have a really great rest of the weekend. Thanks, everybody. And thanks again, Deborah. We'll talk soon.
Thank you both for having me on the show. It's an honor.
Bye-bye.
Bye.